Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
That's what we're going to look at, some very, very difficult pieces of scripture. So we're going to look at, I got three questions for you today, and the first question is, what is it going to look like? At the end of these, what is it going to look like? When we're coming to the very, very final season. Now, whether or not we are here, last week we looked at this journey through revelation of Jesus Christ. We saw that John had seen this slain lamb as the only one worthy to open this sealed scroll of judgment. And that the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies was not a political revolutionary. He wasn't a military leader, but he was a sacrificial lamb that was slain to completely fulfill the law through Jesus Christ's death. The ultimate eternal victory has been won. Now that's good news for us, because our eternity is no longer based upon how good we can live our lives. That's a reason to fall in love with Jesus. We are not in charge of trying to make ourselves good enough for God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel, is God has taken the weight of the responsibility to try to secure our own righteousness upon Jesus Christ. And now by faith. So it says, well, that doesn't matter how we live our lives. If you get that truth, you're going to be more passionate in your pursuit of Christ because of your love for him, gang. So let's go on to chapter 6 as we begin to see this scroll opening up. Boy, I tell you, it's just going to be some high waters to walk through here. So we kind of go through. So now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. Now, what does this mean? Well, I'm going to kind of go through, if we look at the prophet Daniel, and it's very, very beneficial to read the book of Revelation alongside of the book of Daniel, because the book of Daniel tells about this counterfeit to Christ that's going to arise with power. He's going to look like Christ. He's going to give the image of, and he's going to deceive. And so many people, when we read this, we read white horse. That must be something good, right? Well, not so fast. We see that he has a bow. And in the Bible, when you read this imagery of a bow, means a covenant. That this antichrist, this deceiver, is going to rise. He's going to come forth and he's going to make a covenant. And this covenant is going to be a 7-year agreement with Israel that he will break 3.5 years in. So most likely we're talking about this white horse is a time of great deception. Everybody say deception. This is a season of deception. Once the church, I believe that the church is removed, but whether the church is here or the church is removed, or there's individuals who come to Christ during this time, I tell you what, if the church is taken out, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to sit around and say, whoops, they were right. Maybe a lot of us who haven't fully given our heart to Jesus, who are that lukewarm type, that's going to be a great evangelistic event, I would say. And so what do we do for them? Well, these are individuals now who are going to be and going to behold these things. So the white horse represents a time of deception. The second one, let's go on here and read starting in verse 3. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that men should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. So the second horse, this red horse, is peace, is taken out. In other words, it is a time of war. If you're like me and you kind of see it, it seems like now we just throw around terms like, oh, nuclear war, and it seems that the temperature gets raised quickly. The world certainly has seen world wars. It's seen times of conflict. But now with the technology that has come about, war is much more destructive. We wonder, what is holding back? Have you ever thought about what's stopping it? When we see the insanity sometimes that happens in the leaders of the world, that doesn't make much sense now. It doesn't make much sense of the atrocities that are done to individuals. And you think, what is motivating people? Yes, greed. Yes, power. And where do those come from? They do not come from God. So there's a motivation from the enemy. There's a motivation from the pit of hell to want death and destruction. And we see that in the red horse that is loosed, a time of war. It's not hard for me to think that that could be right around the corner. And then would ask me the question, well, what's holding it back now? And the answer would be the presence of the Holy Spirit through the church. Let's go on to verse 5. When he opened the third seal. Is everybody having fun now? I mean, we're like jiving with this. Yeah, I know this is hard. You know what? And because of this stuff, people stay away from Revelation. But I want to tell you, we have to bear with this because remember the first line, the revelation of Jesus Christ. What we're seeing all this is not just the death and destruction, not just all these. We are going to see God's plan fully unveiled, that Jesus is actually in control, which is good news. Okay, verse 5. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil or the wine. What in the world is this talking about? The third seal, the black horse, is famine. This is the plague of famine, this judgment of famine. This seal shows economic turbulence. Come on, somebody. And unprecedented inflation. Literally saying a full day's wage, a full day's wage for one meal. Imagine whatever your salary is, whatever you get, if whatever your entire day, if you could only buy one meal. The despair that that brings in, as you remember, and I refer to this often, as I spent time in Cuba, where individuals literally, this was their life. And what came from that was desperation. And what came with desperation is corruption and despair. And people doing amazing things and sometimes horrible things. This black horse ushers in economic turbulence and global famine. But two things are left, which are kind of odd for us to figure out. Do not harm the oil and the wine. Now, I'm going to grant you, it's unclear what we're talking about, but it could be one of two things. The first thing could be that oil and wine represent the possessions of the wealthy. And what we have continued to see through this world and through even some of our economic crises are the wealthy often are able to sustain that. That's how they consolidate power. We see through a student of world history sees that individuals who rise to power and then when crisis is hit, they seize power. You see it in communist countries. We see it throughout history. But there's another thing that could understand. Do not harm the oil and the wine. And is if these are symbolic. Oil is symbolic of the move of the Holy Spirit. And wine, of course, we just had communion, the blood of Jesus. In other words, that even through the most difficult times, people can turn to God to be saved. Amen. So that gives me hope right there. Let's go to the fourth seal. And he opened the fourth seal, and I heard a voice of the fourth living creature say, come. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And its rider's name was what, gang? Death. And Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine, with pestilence, and by wild beasts of the earth. So this pale horse is pestilence. Now, I got to tell you, some people say, oh, it's just like COVID. No, it's not. No, it's not. Now, before we get into some ideological conversation or some debate about information and how it's taken and moved, we're talking about 25% of the earth. A quarter of the earth's population is wiped out. And it's wiped out not just from famine, but from famine and from sword, okay? But then we also see something else, pestilence and wild beasts of the earth. Now, is this, I know that some of you, if you enjoyed the news just recently, that a cougar was walking across the state. Wasn't that an interesting thing? I was fascinated by the woman who had got onto the site to see where they were tracking this beast and said, I was getting ready to take my dog for a walk, and I didn't because there was a cougar about a block away. Did you see that? It's kind of crazy. Now, is that what he's talking about, wild beasts? Remember how I said the key to revelation, the key to understanding is to go through scripture because it gives its own key. It either tells us, the author tells us, and when you do go through the entire Old Testament, New Testament, the phrase, the wild beasts of the earth, often refers to demonic activity. This is not just a plague that has come from the evolution of a virus or the manipulation of a virus. This has its origins from the pit of hell. Now, again, because that simply come through, man, absolutely, that is a possibility. We're talking a zombie apocalypse, whatever type of thing we're dealing. This is some major, major thing that happens where people are dying left and right. Violence, sickness, hunger that are demonic in origin and nature. And so, demons, what are you talking about? If you believe in demons, a lot of people are like, oh, I believe in demons, but I believe in angels, but I don't believe in demons. Well, angels, the fallen angels are demons. That's what we're talking about, gang. And so along with Revelation, we have some more good sense theology. Yes, there are angels, and yes, there are fallen angels, demons, and this horde is now loosed to wreak havoc on the earth. Are we having fun yet? I warned you about today's message, okay? All right, let's go on to the fifth seal. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness that they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. This is the voice of the martyrs. This seal is breaking out, and we hear their voice that some who have throughout history remained righteous and been persecuted for their faith. And I know that we say, oh, we're persecuted for our faith because somebody unfriended us on Facebook, or somebody blocked us, or somebody said something, or said they're not going to do business with us. That's not the persecution, gang. The persecution is literally for you not compromising in your stance to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. Now, some contextual understanding. Christians at this time were captured and they were brought and they were asked this question. Confess that Caesar is Lord. And if they would not say that Caesar is Lord, they would be killed or they would be imprisoned and sometimes taken to the Colosseum to be fed in the games that were barbaric in nature. So yes, we have some understanding, and yes, their voice has called out, even as the voice of Abel called out from beyond, the voice of the martyrs still calls out, how long, how long? In other words, there are things that happen on this earth that do not make sense. The scales are unbalanced. I refer to last week's message. There are things that happen here on this side of eternity we just don't get. Why do good people have horrible things that sometimes happen? Why is judgment sometimes, it doesn't seem right? When will it all be set right? And the time is, yes, those voices will call out, and that time is coming. And Christ is that judge. Let's go to the next seal here. Verse 12, and he opened the sixth seal, and I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, and the full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when it's shaken by the gale. Now, how many of you are enjoying fall? I have this maple tree in my front yard that is absolutely gorgeous. I love it. And it turned bright red. And then we had that day of wind and it's all gone. It happened so quickly. One day, and I remember I have a friend who lives down south, and he's always like, oh, you got the bad winter. And I'm like, we got the beautiful fall. And I was coming home to take the picture and I came around, I'm driving down and it's all gone. When did that happen? It happens quickly. This is a pretty major event. It says the sky, verse 14, the sky vanished like a scroll that's being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. This is a major geological event. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, what did they do? They hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountain, calling on the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? In other words, who is left? People who don't want to be with Christ. People who have this animosity towards Christ. People who will just absolutely reject no matter what evidence, no matter how much love, no matter what is laid out in front of them. This is what happens. So here it is, the sixth seal, signs in the heaven. Eclipses, earthquakes, natural disasters to the point of when men hide in fear. So this is chapter 7 and verse 3. This angel declares not to harm the earth or the sea. We have this kind of pause here that happens, gang. And then we see that John is told that there's a number of 144,000 people that need to be sealed. And we find out that they're from the 12 tribes. This is where many of us believe that God is going to deal with Israel, that there's going to be a massive revival. And then John turns and we see something powerful in Revelation 7, 9 through 12. So he's heard about these 144,000 from the 12 tribes that are going to be sealed. And now he turns and this is what he sees. And after this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number. From where, church? From every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice. Let's all read what they're saying together, church. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I hope you love those words, because there's going to be a day in glory. We're going to see and say them again. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders of the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Let's all read this, what we're going to say again. Ready? Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. I love this pause, because it lets us know, as bad as it is on earth, in heaven all is well. It is well. It is well. It is well with my soul. Guys, when the earth seems out of control, as the psalm writer says, that our anchor is behind the veil. It's beyond the veil. That's where the anchor for our faith is. We as a people of covenant are going to see this fulfillment. So yes, John has now turned his focus heavenward. I feel that this is further evidence that the church has been called up there. But either way, God will empower those who either come to Christ during this tribulation or come through to remain faithful. And then we see the seventh seal. And the seventh seal is silence in heaven. Now, this is either a reverent silence, or some Bible scholars say that this is when Christ and the church come back to the earth with the armies to face the Antichrist. But after the seventh seal, we have this time. We go through and we see that out of the seventh seal, with this silence, comes seven trumpets. And so it's kind of like saying the same thing. They're all connected. And so if you want to turn in your Bible to Revelation chapter 8, and I'd like to invite you to kind of read along as I go very quickly through these seven trumpets and get to point two. Very, very, very quickly. The first trumpet, the green grass and a third of the trees are burned up. That's Revelation 8, 7. That's kind of like the plague that was on Egypt. We go on to Revelation 8, 8 and 9. Is a third of the seas become as blood? Does that remind you of the Nile turning to blood? Okay. And a third of the ships and the sea life are destroyed. Then we go on to that the huge mountain, a blaze is thrown into the sea, is what causes this. And then the third trumpet, a third of the natural, the fresh waters are now affected. They're turned bitter by this falling star named wormwood, which is a plant that's known for its bitterness and known for its poisonous. So the waters, the sea water on the second trumpet, and the natural waters, the fresh water, on the third trumpet. The fourth trumpet, a third of the sun and the moon and the stars, they do not shine. We just kind of read that a minute ago. Again, we're seeing another perspective. The fifth trumpet, these locusts, these are weird looking locusts that are demonic from the destroyer. Their faces are like horses. They wear crowns. They have women's hair. How do I look today? You look like the fifth trumpet. I mean, listen, they have teeth like lions and they have tails like scorpions. Don't ever say to your spouse they look like the fifth trumpet, okay? Not wise. Or you're going to get the seventh seal. There'll be silence. And then impending judgment. Is everybody having fun yet? We're almost done. We're almost done. The sixth seal, a 200 million man army, kill a third of mankind. And we see that this is this vast army that comes and is led by the Antichrist. Now, why all this destruction? Why all this demonic violence? This comes to my second point. Why is it going to get this bad? And again, we're going to wrap up real quickly here. And thank you for bearing with me, because that's a lot of scripture. I know that's a whole lot. And you know how I like to do. I want to get into God's word and see how we can apply it to our lives today, gang. So my second point is, why in the world is it going to get this bad? We find out in Revelation 12:12. For the devil has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. Why is all this happening? Because the devil knows who wins. He is a defeated foe. Next week, I told you, I'm really excited about next week, because now we have this pause in Revelation where we get to learn about our adversary. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Satan wants to destroy, yet God offers. He offers eternity with him. He offers rescue. And so if we ask ourselves, why is it looking like this? Here's my point. All that I just read, plus we have seven bowls, that's what the earth looks like without the influence of God. This is what it looks like when the Spirit of God is removed. All hell breaks loose. So this takes on a bigger meaning for us when Jesus says that we are the light of the world. That we're a city on the hill. God called us to bear witness to his Spirit, to let God's Spirit shine through our lives. Let's go on and wrap up our message here today in Revelation 9, 20 through 21. Because God offers salvation when we read something powerful here in verse 20 in the sixth trumpet. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, nor give up worshiping. So now look, they're worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze. In other words, they're worshiping demonic forces. They're worshiping the things of Satan, the things that are not of God, and money, and of stone and wood. Possessions, materialism. This is where it goes. And yet we continue to stay on that rat race. Gang, it doesn't end well. Which cannot see, hear, or walk. He goes on, verse 21, nor did they repent of their murders. Look, we live in the time of murder. Murder is now convenient. Goodness gracious, we're talking about, you know, decriminalizing things left and right. Why? Ask the question, why? Murder, not valuing life. And their sorcerers, spirituality away from God, and their sexual immorality. Does that sound like today? Does it sound like our societies or their thefts? No. This is what we want to do. We're living in a time where people are fleeing cities because it's okay to steal. No one does anything about it. Gang, we see the signs are all around us, and the church may be the only thing holding it back. So we're seeing just a glimpse. Now, I sure hope that the Lord's going to call us home before this, but even if he doesn't, we need to be prepared for it. That's the value of eschatology, is it helps us prepare our hearts. And so my final point today is this, a simple question, three questions. Are you ready? That's my final question. Are you ready? Well, what does it mean to be ready? Have you repented, changed your thinking of your sins? Have you literally repented of your sins? Is just business as normal? Have we changed or do we tolerate it? In my inner man, in my thoughts. Second, have I made a commitment to put my full trust in Jesus as my Savior and Lord? In other words, I've made him Lord of my time, of my treasure, and of my talents. And the choir can start coming up. And finally, is my life bearing spiritual fruit? You can know a tree by its fruit, gang. Is our tree bearing the fruit that God has called us to? Am I witnessing in my lifestyle, my conversations, in my character? In other words, am I proclaiming the gospel? Am I shining or am I refusing to shine? Am I prepared to stand, to embrace prayerfulness, purity, perseverance, and passion in our relationship with Jesus? Church family, that's the question for us. Am I ready? Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, thank you for your word to us in a very, very complicated portion of Scripture. We ask your Spirit to illuminate us and to breathe life on your word. Lord, we see and we read what it's going to look like. We know that you're in control. We know that our adversary is angry, yet he's defeated. And now, Lord, the question for us is, have we made a decision on all the evidence that you've given us? And I pray, God, you'd move upon the hearts of your people. I pray, God, that anyone who is lukewarm will be convicted to move to a passionate relationship with you. And anyone who's never made that decision will not put it off, but choose this day who they will serve. We bless you and we thank you for your word. May it strengthen and help us to stand. This we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.